So back in the day, 9 years ago, we were ministering, I don't know if you call it ministering at that point, but we were in a coffee shop, and we had the kids meeting out on the porch. And I always had this fear that one of the kids would run into the parking lot, which eventually did happen. And we left that coffee shop shortly after. It is a gift, the space that God has allowed us to have with the people that we have. God has been generous with us. One of the hopes is that, as Adam stressed this just a moment ago, we call it Discipleship Weekend. It's not like we're, okay, let's now start discipleship. I do think that there are opportunities where in the habits of a church life where we can emphasize a little bit of a focus. And I think over the last 9 years, the year that we've always got to enjoy, it just felt right. As the summer is concluding, Labor Day is finished, how do we create within our culture of a church a weekend where we can just focus in on what we think God could use us to strengthen us, to encourage us? And you guys know that church planning has been something that we've been talking about a lot lately. And so I'm going to talk twice over these next 2 days about the Church of Antioch. I think there's something in here that's been convicted to me, for me, and I think it'll be definitely for you. We were in the gathering room, and I probably told this story 10 times, but year three at our membership meet, quarterly meeting, at the end of that meeting, I said, next year will look different. And over the last 9 years, that has been proven to be true. And there will be no doubt next year, Reliance will look different. And I hope in good ways. And I hope that God would allow us to see his hands to still continue. So if you have your Bibles with that kind of like that focus, the theme is they were sent. So I think it's something that we challenge with, but I would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Tomorrow I'm going to look at Acts chapter 11, and I might even reference it too a little bit here in a minute. But Acts chapter 13, I'm just going to read 4 verses with you, and then I want to share some thoughts that we can discuss here in a bit together. So now there we're at Antioch in the church that was there. Prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Philip, it's fitting to pray. So I'd ask you to pray with me. Lord, I imagine it was a shock to the church of Antioch when you called 2 of the 5 leaders of the church away. And I would pray that as we even contemplate that, even in light of what we're anticipating you're calling us to do with Adam and his team, that we would be faithful to do such as the church of Antioch, to be obedient, to rejoice and send, because they were sent. In Jesus' name, amen. It doesn't take long, and I think most of the people will actually resist it. In fact, when you say the word, and I imagine one of the reasons why it's like, okay, we need to have a weekend where we focus in on this. The moment that we talked about church plant, and the moment that we announced that Adam was going to be doing it, I saw in some a concern. And anytime there occurs change, it's that word. I feel it in my own spirit, in my own body. Just merely mentioning the word change brings out all sorts of emotions. The word itself interferes with my life. And if anybody knows me, I hope I'm getting better over time, but I am what I call a rat. I take the same way to work every day. I take the same way to school every day. Every week is scheduled, typically the same, because I don't like change. I am a rat. Rats just take the same path every day. And how do you catch a rat? You put a trap in its path. And so for me, when I hear the word change, I immediately recognize that it interferes with my comforts, my rhythms, my autonomy, my expectations, and quite frankly, my securities. There's been about 41 years that I have existed. I have not changed my haircut. It's been pretty much the same. But we all recognize that when we change, they can be for benefit or if it be for actually just difficulty. So my life changed when I got married to Beth. It's a good thing. My life changed when we moved to Dallas. And there's this, rhythm that we all have, and especially I've seen in the Tri-Cities. I got this Rubik's Cube. Rubik's Cubes are funny, because when you take it out of the box, it's all put together. It's like the American dream. It's like, I think what we all strive to do in life is to get every color in its spot and to just enjoy what it's intended to do, be put together like this. But if you've ever played with a Rubik's Cube, you know all it takes, every kid, all it takes is a couple shifts within the Rubik's Cube. I'll do four, and it's done. And it doesn't need to take much in most of our life to have our world just totally messed up or entirely a new pattern of life. And so I think one of the reasons why when we talk about a church plant and we're sending Adam, we got to the point where all the colors were in the right spot. In fact, it's been really nice. We haven't been building bathrooms or building walls. We have so many things that are going well, and the moment that you talk about change, it means that this is getting messed up. And I just want to encourage you with the little time that I have tonight to throw the Rubik's Cube, remind you that the God that we serve has historically done this. In fact, Noah built an ark. Imagine that calling in his regular schedule, his whole next 120 years of life changed in a moment. I don't need you to do anything else but build a boat. Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Out of the middle of nowhere. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and your father's house and to the land which I will show you. Everything was about to change for him. It didn't matter how close that Rubik's Cube or where the colors were. It's like, tomorrow, it's all changing. Moses was probably willing just to tend the rest of his life watching sheep. And then change happened. Exodus 3:10. Therefore, come now. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh so that you might bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Talk about change. Jonah, I only want to preach to my people. Then all of a sudden, Jonah 1:2, arise, go to Nineveh, a different people. There's only two prophets that are sent to Gentiles. Amos. Well, that's not true. But Amos and Jonah and Obadiah would be the third. Go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Talk about change of
ministry.
It's not just a pattern that we see in the Old Testament, it's something we also see in the New Testament with the disciples. I find it just so intriguing, Matthew 4:18. Jesus asks these fishermen to change their life in a moment. 4:18. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately, lives changed. They left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them. Immediately, life changed. They left the boat and their father and followed him. So within God's people historically, like the Rubik's Cube is a myth. The American dream and getting all the colors in the right spot, like, I never thought God would call me to be a church planter. And in the moment, change. What we want to hit on this weekend is that more than anything what we want in our people is when God calls you to change, you'll do it. Sometimes they'll call you to leave your job, your family, well, relatives, to go to a place that you may not even know. We saw Brian and Lisa make a significant change in their life. Jonathan and Carolyn make a significant change in their life. Saul, who's actually even mentioned in this story, talk about a change in his life. He's on the road to Damascus in Acts 9:3. He was traveling along to persecute Christians. And I love the way that Luke writes it. And it happened, the change. Continues in Acts 9:3. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly, like in a moment, life changed. A light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up, enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do." This situation, which you find in Acts chapter 9, is probably about 11, 12 years prior to what we read, or I just read in Acts 13. The brothers and sisters in Christ clearly didn't want to receive Saul because he was had a pattern of taking them off to jail, but he did find a place in Tarsus where he settled down in a new place, new community, for 8 to 9 years. And even then, after 8 to 9 years, Barnabas shows up. And Saul's life changes once again. And he serves for a year in Antioch. Which I have some thoughts that I want to talk now about Acts 13, which I think really correlate to where we're at even as a church. It was fun. Acts 13, Antioch church, what we read here, it was fun. Look at verse 1. "Now they were at Antioch in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas." Barnabas gets to the church at Antioch because there are some men of Cyrene and Cyprus who began proclaiming the gospel. The church begins to establish itself. The church of Jerusalem gets so excited, they say, "You need some leadership." They send Barnabas. They sent a good leader. And Barnabas begins to build up leadership. You have Simon, you have Lucius, and you have Manion, and you have Saul. In fact, we'll look at Acts chapter 11 tomorrow, but Barnabas needs more leaders because the church is growing so rapidly, he goes to find his best. And Saul clearly was one of the best. And drags him up to Antioch. And they are, I would call it the dream team. Five qualified leaders, like every single one of them, gifted to teach, to instruct, to equip, to disciple. And the thing is working. Look at verse 2. While they were ministering, like there was no dip, while they were living out church life, serving, practicing, being Christian to the Lord and fasting, the change happened. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." That would have been a blow. I think you recognize it as well. For some of you who have been here for the last 9 years, like, to think of Reliance without Jacob and Adam, that's a big change. To be fair, I don't know if I've ever told Adam this, but when we loaded up Adam in the truck, he left to get here to Tri-Cities first. Me and Dave packed him up as quick as we could so before he could change his mind, and we actually sat in the parking lot that makes sure that he actually left the campus and made the journey here. Part of me is thinking, well, we could pull the wool over somebody. No, that's not what I said. But I turned to Dave and I said, we just got the best from DTS. And ever since those last 9 years, I have never thought the different. It's been a wonderful privilege to serve with Adam. But God gets to call his people to change the way that they live their life when he wants. Relationships are blessed, but when God calls, oh man, Barnabas and Saul and the relationship that he had through these brothers would have been endearing. I need the two. Let them go. Reliance, one of the reasons why I want to emphasize this, and I probably emphasize it too much, God's people are God's people, and God's people allow God to change the direction where he puts his people at. I just want to be like verse 3. Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. They were willing, the church, they had already been discipled into a position that when God calls his people to go, they're ready to send them. And I think there were like this, because when the church of Antioch became established, the church of Jerusalem saw the opportunity for a church of Antioch to be established. And you know what they did? They sent Barnabas. And so they had been discipled by the church of Jerusalem. And so when then God called them to send, they are ready. I pray, and I don't know what God's going to do, but I am excited about what he is doing in the present. There are 3, 4, 5 churches that are excited to send this church plant. And I'm praying that there will be a culture which could be established where God's people are ready to change for the sake of this city. You know what's happening in the city. It's growing faster than churches are able to plant. And I'm praying that God would establish a group of people for such a time as this to love the city in such a way for the 50 years that lies ahead. That there be churches for the congregations that move here in the future. Because the city ain't thinking about it. And it's not their job, it's ours. And so I'm not just asking for an Adam, but I'm asking for more Adams be willing to come and partner in church planting into this city. But it won't happen unless we have the means and the attitude and the discipleship to be willing to change. When I grew up, there was this song that we would sing that we understood that God has the right to change everything in my life. It went like this. I'm not going to sing it, but change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. I want, not just for my sake, like, could we disciple each other in such a way? My dream is, I'm not going to finish that sentence because it terrifies me. I want to be here for 30 years. 40, if God would allow me and you would just let me. But could we disciple our people in such a way that even if God called me, we'd be really to go? Because that's the attitude of which this church practiced. They sent the best. It's not like, and there's these thoughts when you start thinking about church planning, set apart for me two people. I could give two people right now, God. No, I want Barnabas and I want Saul. I want your best. And their faithfulness, you know the rest of the book of Acts, if you've been here, like the gospel goes forth to the ends of the world because of these two men, because of a church that was willing to send them. I want you to think, you're at tables, and I want you to think, some of you have been a part of Reliance for a while, some of you have been a part of churches, but I want you to sit at your tables and think, okay, how have I changed here at Reliance in the period that I've been here? Or if you've been just getting, how did the church before you help you change? And has it moved you to be a person willing to be one who lets go when God asks you to go? Okay? So that's what I want you to do. I want you to talk about it with your tables and then reflect together. Like, yeah, how have you changed? And do you feel like you're in this position, we're in this position where if God called, we'd let go? Right? You're up. You get 10 minutes to do that.